Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to The Boundless Show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Very pleased to be with you, as I always am. First up, speaking of me just yammering on and you hearing my voice again, I want to let you know that I'm actually going to have the chance to be on the Focus on the Family broadcast coming up on August 3rd and 4th, which is just this next week. And so make sure that you tune in. You can check out all the info on focusonthefamily.com/radio and find a station near you that's going to air it. Obviously, so you can also stream it off of our site, get it as the podcast as well. But the main Focus on the Family broadcast is going to be featuring, I'm going to be able to talk about my book, The Dating Manifesto. That's the subject of the interview. So listen up for that. That'll be very, very fun. Well, later on in the show, we're going to answer a question from someone who wants to know, is it okay that my girlfriend's parents aren't believers? And then for our culture segment, we have Doug Servin here. He, along with Craig Dunham, is the author of 20-Someone, Finding Yourself in a Decade of Transition. So, very appropriately, for our roundtable, we have brought in a group of folks who have gone through their 20s. Maybe some of them, and who knows, I might throw myself in this lot as well, are having a hard time remembering our 20s at this point. But no, a lot of things learned. And so we want to go ahead and kick off a conversation with helping those of you who are now in your 20s kind of navigate this decade, because I know a lot of you think it is a tricky one. So I want to welcome Jim, Roger, and Barb. Hey, all.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you.
Great to have you here. All right. So the first thing I want to do is just so folks, because obviously we're just audio, can you give, you can straight up give your age and then what decade were you in your 20s? What decade in history? Mm-hmm. It was not in the 2000s, I'm assuming. So what decade was that for you? How about you, Barb? Right.
Okay. I'm 66.
Okay.
So I was in my 20s in the 60s.
Okay. Wow. That was quite a historic
decade. That was
decade.
A long time ago.
A lot going on. Okay.
Yeah,
Roger?
Was.
I'm 63, and I was in the decade of the 70s.
Okay. 70s.
And I made 83, and I was in the decade of, what would that be, the 50s?
40, yeah, 50s. 40s and 50s, yep. Probably. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's excellent. Is there anything that you remember specifically from history that kind of marked that decade for you, that was kind of a pivotal thing that happened in the news or in history? I mean, there are literally people listening here who don't remember prior to 9/11, you guys. So we're going to be talking about, just give us a frame of context. Anything historically?
I remember the Watts riots were going on in L.A.
Okay.
That was a big deal.
Is that, were you growing up in that area?
I was actually in Orange County.
Okay.
So it wasn't that far from
L.A. Not that far at all. Okay.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember the same thing. But also remember in my 20s, I got married. So that was historic to me.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. That is excellent. Okay.
I agree with you, Roger. I got married in our 20s also. And what I remember a lot was the Second World War. I was not in it, but I remember it very vividly. And I remember Pearl Harbor and so on.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a landmark time in history.
Right.
Okay, if you had to look back on your 20s, and if someone asked you, how would you characterize them overall, what would you say when you look back? I mean, how did you feel about life at the time? What did you feel like really were your main priorities? How would you characterize your 20s?
I enjoyed my 20s. I was looking forward to, going to get through college. I was looking forward to getting married. But at that time, I was praying for a mentor for my life. I knew I was young, and I knew I had a lot of life ahead of me. So I knew I was going to need a bunch of guidance along the way. So that was pretty much where I was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd have known that or thought that. I see it as a time of just really searching, and although I was a Christian, I wasn't really seeking hard after God at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much just, I knew I wanted to get married, and after I got out of college, I thought, oh no, I'm not married yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually didn't get married until I was 29.
Changed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But it was kind of a chaotic, kind of kind of wandering around aimlessly a little bit for me.
Now, were you? Was that also in terms of career stuff? Like you said,
I graduated from college and I started teaching, and so that was really in place.
Okay,
it was more. I knew what I wanted to do with my life in terms of a career, but I was really focused on getting married. I wanted a family, and I didn't want to be a career woman. I wanted to be a mom and a wife and stuff. So that was my main focus. Okay.
My problem was with understanding and patience.
Okay.
Because that's in the courtship of my wife, I needed an awful lot of patience.
Why is that? Why do you need so much patience with her?
Well, first off, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. My wife was born in Jersey City, New Jersey. So it took me an hour and a half to get to her house.
Oh, okay.
And the night before we were married, I went to visit her to bring off my luggage, etc. She announced that she thought she'd like to become a nun.
The night before your wedding?
The night before the wedding, yes.
That's a little unsettling.
So,
but you still went through with it?
We still went through with it.
And how many years were you married?
57 years.
All right.
And she's in heaven now.
Yeah.
But even before that, when we were courting, we made a date, and rather than me going all the way over to Jersey to meet her, we made an agreement that I would meet her in a train stop. So I waited. We were supposed to meet her at 12 o'clock. I waited at 12, 1230, 1245, 1 o'clock. I was about ready to leave, and she came up, and she said, "Hello." No apology. And I thought, oh my gosh, this needs patience. Uh-huh. And it certainly needed understanding.
Okay. And did she kind of keep you waiting for 57 years in different things?
Absolutely.
You just hung in there regardless.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's good. Wow. That's good. Because you're kind of considered, to that point, Jim, you're considered part of what they call the greatest generation. Tom Brokaw kind of coined that, I think. So I think a lot of people look at your generation as being much, very much, much more directive, knowing, I think people assume that it was a generation where people who had their priorities straight, were hard workers, were loyal, not only to our nation, but elsewhere. Did you feel that among your peers?
Yes, I did. I did. But I lived in a German neighborhood, and that posed a little difficulty because there was an awful lot of Germans and Nazis and Bund, German Bunds in the neighborhood. But my friends and those with whom I played with and hung out with were all very patriotic.
Okay.
So I was glad of that.
Well, you all talked a little bit, especially in terms of relationships and marriage, kind of talking about wanting to be settled in that area. Was that, as you look back on your 20s, what was something that maybe worried you most? Like looking back on it now, your thoughts were consumed with it. You were, now when we talk to young adults, they have a lot to be concerned about, the state of the economy, ISIS, terrorism. that wasn't necessarily part of all of our upbringings, although different things at different times. But what would you say were the big worries of your day for young adults?
Well, in many respects, for me, nothing really changed from then till now, in that when I was in my 20s, I was looking at the issue of Vietnam and the unrest there. I mean, she mentioned earlier the Watts riots, and I lived in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. Those created all kinds of issues for me at that time. So where people are dealing with the issues of ISIS and that kind of thing, the young community right now, or your listening group, it was very similar back then. I think it's gotten a little bit more intense, but during our years, my high school years, et cetera, and moving into my 20s, Vietnam was a very scary prognosis when you thought about, well, someday I'd like to, go to college and get married and have a family. But being, as Jim said, patriotic, we knew what our responsibility was, and we would do our duty and go from there.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Roger. That's the way we felt too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had many of friends who didn't come back from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of consumed our thinking at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. I was concerned about the Korean War,
mm-hmm.
and I was in it. I was not over there. Fortunately, I was one of the fortunate few that was stationed in Fort Carson. Mm-hmm. Then it was Camp Carson, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was able to stay here and work here, although I did spend some time up in Leadville at 40 below zero during the winter time. So
wow.
It was not, that was not fun.
That'll strengthen you up and sharpen you up. So how about you, Barb?
I do remember Vietnam was a huge deal, and mm-hmm. I too had friends who didn't come back. And I felt fortunate to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I didn't have to worry about the draft, and
mm-hmm.
My brother was over in Germany, and you know, there was a lot going on mm-hmm. with that.
Hmm. Okay. Now, thinking of, you know, again, we alluded to the fact that you're talking to a lot of 20-somethings who are listening. When you look at your 20s, especially if you knew you were sitting down for a cup of coffee with one of them, what would you say about your 20s that you would do differently? Is there anything you would choose to do differently if you could go back and rewrite anything about the way you lived your 20s?
I think I would do a few things differently. One of them would be I would have been a little bit more fervent in my commitment to the Lord, number one.
Mm-hmm.
The time that I spent in the Word and staying involved in more church activities, that type of thing. I was so busy looking at future and developing a career in the particular business that I worked in at that time that I was in for the next 25 years of my life. In those early formative years, I think if I would have been a little bit more serious about my Christian walk, it would have made some big changes, at least for me, not only in my 30s, 40s, but now clear into my 60s. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. There's a couple other things, too. I would be much more deliberate about saving,
mm-hmm.
about... I was fortunate that I was able to like catch up in my 40s, but that had a lot to do with inheritances and things.
Okay.
I know my kids are in their 30s now, and I'm like, you better start saving. Because
mm-hmm.
especially in your 20s, you just don't think that's, you know, I'll do that later. And
it's
a lot less of a burden if you start earlier.
You betcha.
And then the other thing that I would definitely do is I have a lot of junk from my childhood that needed to be gone through and needed to be addressed and healing. And the Lord wanted to heal those things. And I wasn't in a place where I was letting him do that. And my biggest regret now is that I made some really big decisions before that happened. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important to know, why do you respond to things? You know, is it something from your childhood that you're still responding as if you're a child, even though those circumstances aren't, you know, current?
Mm-hmm.
Just so many things that I respond differently today,
mm-hmm.
now that I understand those things. And I would have made a deliberate effort to address those things in my 20s, mm-hmm. I think.
Wow. Good.
My love was music. I was in all kinds of organizations, choral organizations, and I used to lead the music in my church and for, I guess, about 20, 25 years. And now I lost my voice, so I don't even attempt to sing right now. But that was the one thing I wanted to pursue, because I did sing in a barbershop quartet as well.
Hmm.
And we were on the radio and a few other things. But we wanted to make a career of it, the fellows that I was singing with. But it just never happened.
Okay. What is kind of the flip side of that coin then? What, even though there are things you do differently, what would you say to 20-somethings are some of the must-dos for their 20s? Like things where you say, okay, well, now, you know, when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, those days are gone. So what should 20-somethings put on their bucket lists for now?
I think the most important thing is understanding.
Hmm.
As I said earlier, understanding and patience. Mm-hmm. And that's very hard to come by, mm-hmm. extremely hard to come by.
To cultivate it, okay.
I can tell you that there are four things that stick out in my mind. And Barb kind of hit on one of them, and that is, I would say to people in their 20s now, one, time goes very quickly. Mm-hmm. Even though time is an ally, it still passes quickly. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago that I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. and that's okay, 40 plus years ago. So it marches on, and of course, especially when you, if you're blessed enough to be married and have a family and those kind of things, time seems to escalate or speed up mm-hmm. all the time. So understand, as Jim said, understanding is important, but understand that time is going to move. So the second thing I would say is get your finances in order, because time will march on. If you start things early enough, it makes a big difference 30, 40, 50 years later. And then the third thing I would simply say is once your time is in order, you got your finances in order, then what I did is I spent 5 years praying for a mentor, somebody who was godly that could give me the kind of insight and leadership. Somebody had been there and done it, and the Lord provided a man who was a doctor for me, and here it is now 43 years later, and he's still my mentor. He's now in his late 80s, 87 years old. So that would be the third thing. And then the fourth thing I would simply say, especially if you want to pursue a relationship and getting married, we've always told young counselees that my wife and I have are doing premarriage counseling, you find somebody who has a heart for the Lord and somebody whose heart is teachable, then that's the kind of person or the relationship you want to pursue. If they're not teachable or they don't have a heart for the Lord, move on, because life is tough already. Mm-hmm. But when you get those two dynamics in line, it's amazing, because the Holy Spirit then can mold and direct and develop an individual and a relationship that is going to be worth living a lifetime. Yeah, so
that's good.
And one thing I would say, too, is don't ever try to change somebody. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult. And people, especially the people listening to your broadcast, if they have a loved one or someone with whom they are in love, they should never, ever, ever say, well, things will change once we get married. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. No.
It does not happen. Mm-hmm. Does not happen.
Okay. What's something that maybe you expected when you were in your 20s? Something you thought your life was going to go this way, or a choice you made? I mean, I know, Barb, you alluded to this a little bit, that now as you look back was totally unexpected, not what you would have scripted, but God used anyway in your life, either to teach you or to shape you, maybe to discipline you, or maybe just to bless you in some way you hadn't expected.
Well, I think one of the things he used for me was he provided, after a five-year prayer time with him, he provided a mentor. Mm-hmm. It was unexpected that he would give me the quality of man that he did, and that I would have these last 43 years under his tutelage, which has been absolutely wonderful. But I think there's another aspect that I look back in those early years. My oldest brother passed away at the age of 38 from cancer. Mm-hmm. And to a mid-20-year-old at that time becomes a frightening thought that if my oldest brother can't make it past 38, maybe I won't make it past 38. Mm-hmm. And so it literally began to change how I approached life after going through that experience. And thankfully, the Lord has given me many years and many blessings along the way. But to lose somebody that early in my life that I was close to was a hardship that the Lord used to let me know that bottom line is you treat each day as if it might be your last, and be grateful for what God has done and stay faithful to Him. The end result is He might give you lots of years, He might not. But in either case, it is a blessing to know that we have that hope either way.
Yes, we indeed have that hope. I think that it's important to realize that God is in control, that it's not anything that we do or anything that we say, but we have to trust in God and let Him lead the way. and always say, I trust you, Lord. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have a problem or whenever you have a difficulty, I trust you, Lord.
Well, and I think, too, just I've already mentioned that I was set on getting married. And not only getting married, but I was pretty sure it happened by the time I was 25. Hmm. And when I reached 25 and I had no prospects, I was like, hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I had to realize that God had a plan for me that was different from my own. Mm-hmm. And that I also had to grapple with, what if I never get married? Mm-hmm. You know, what if I don't have children? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got something else for me. Mm-hmm. And so that was a growth time for me. It was a time to kind of relinquish what I wanted or thought that I deserved, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had some time to wait.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lisa, in kind of piggybacking off what Jim said, one of the advantages to being older is you have the privilege of looking back over many, many years of life, and you see God's faithfulness. You see his perfect plan. And even though in the midst of a 20s, 30s, 40-year-old experience, you might not understand all that God is doing, but it's absolutely a wonderful thing to be able to look back and see how God orchestrated every aspect of our lives along the way. And that is amazing, because what it does, you don't see it so easily in your 20s or maybe even into your 30s. But when you're in your 60s and older, you really get to look back, which gives you hope for what lies ahead, because you know that God's going to be faithful. Yeah.
Well, great thoughts, you all. Thank you so much for being part of this conversation. We have to wrap it up too early, of course, but I appreciate you looking back on those decades and sharing the wisdom you've learned. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're very welcome.